right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, on this cold day that we can be inside here in this meeting house as we gather together on the Lord's Day to worship and honor you. Lord, I pray we'd be here today to encourage others. I pray we'd have a joy that is not fake or manufactured, but would be real. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God, which is our anchor. And I pray that the Word of God would be taught in all of our classes today. And the Lord, in the morning service, is preached tonight. And all that's done would honor you as we're diligently handling your Word, the truth. I thank you for each one that's here, those that may be watching from home, Lord, maybe not feeling well, maybe just due to distance or cold or whatever, Lord, just tuning in from home. I pray they'd be encouraged in their heart, Lord, as they join us in the Sunday school hour and then testimonies coming up. Use this offering, Lord, I pray, for Bibles so that men and women, boys and girls in Indonesia can see and hear the truth, the gospel, and come to know you as Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Well, I just want to take a couple minutes and just praise the Lord myself. Just the last several months, the Lord has really showed himself to be my counselor, my guide, my mentor. Just every time I open up the Bible, the Lord is always there teaching me something, guiding me, showing me how to think, how to deal with certain situations. One thing is out of James, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And just the Lord has really challenged me, you know, you got to put some feet to your faith. You know, if the Lord has showed you something out of a message or out of the Word of God, is teaching you something, okay, how are you going to apply that? And that's just something that the Lord has been teaching me, and that I've been, I'm just very thankful for the Lord to just not leaving me alone, building my faith in Him and teaching me and guiding me. All right, so last week we started part one. It wasn't initially going to be a part one or part two Sunday school topic, but on music. And specifically, it's on biblical discernment for music. And the aim for this this topic is that you know, as an individual, as a Christian, in your relationship between you and God, would have discernment when it comes to music. Now, I thought about it. Specifically do for this part two? You know, was I going to go through a bunch of genres of music and show you which genre is bad and why, and which genre is good and why? And I did not feel led to do that. I think the Lord would rather you grow in your relationship with the Lord and through and out of that gain discernment to make a decision for yourself what music is hindering my relationship with God and what music is helping my relationship with God. You know, I'm a firm believer that music can be a awesome tool, awesome a thing that you that should be in the Christian's life that can help you in your relationship with God. Absolutely. Now if you have a structured devo time, a time where you have set aside a part that you take where you get alone with God and read His Word, pray, you know, whatever that looks like. You got a Bible plan, maybe that you're reading through the Bible in 1 year, or maybe you got some topics that you're studying through, and then maybe you got a journal that you have along with that. You got some tools, and that's great. A journal to write down thoughts, how God spoke to you through that, and then maybe a prayer journal. People that you're praying for to help you when you pray, some praises, things like that. You know what is another great thing you can add to your personal time with God? A hymn book. You can add a hymn book to your personal time with God. Now and you can use that maybe the first thing you do in your time with God. You can even before you read the Bible or maybe even pray, you can go in that hymn book and either sing or read, any of those hymns in there. Maybe you got a Majesty hymn book or a Wilds book, I don't know, at your home or something. And I don't think they're not too expensive online. I think they're you can find a hymn book, Majesty hymn book, for $15 or less. But and that can be a great resource to you as a Christian to help you in your relationship with God, in your personal time with God. Now, that's a little bit of a review from what we covered last week. We just did a real cursory, just kind of basic, just talked about what is music, what makes up music. We talked about the components of music. We talked about the big things are rhythm, right? We talked about rhythm. We talked about pitch. We talked about harmony. And then we just talked about how the effects of music and how it just reaches the depths of the soul. And we even referenced a lot from ancient Greek philosophers, Plato and Aristotle, who had some very opinionated thoughts about music. And these men, they lived something like 400 years before Christ. And they had very opinionated thoughts that, like, yes, music will change your character. Music will change, will determine the tenor of your soul. It will determine the disposition on your face. It can change society. And you know, these men were very, very humanistic. You know, they were about, you know, making better men, better society for men, worshiping men. And obviously, we're not about that. We're about God, what pleases God. But they had enough wisdom and to see that music can be used for either devastating effects or for great good. To even lift up a society, to lift up an individual, or bring him down. And I didn't say this just a couple sentences that this is sum that up is this: when we think about music and how it affects us, and even music with words. Let me read this to you. Words make you think thoughts. Okay, that's pretty obvious, right? When we speak words, you know, and you listen to the news, you read newspapers, and words, they make you think thoughts. Music makes you feel feelings. Words and music make you feel thoughts. Did you catch that? You understand that? Let me read it again. Words make you think thoughts. Music makes you feel feelings. Music makes you feel feelings. It can make you feel dark, make you feel somber, make you feel happy. And then words and music together make you feel thoughts. Music is not amoral. It has morals. It has, depending on who wrote any specific piece of music, it's up to them on what they're trying to communicate. And then we also talked about sacred principles for music, and we just had two things. We talked about, as a Christian, what are our sacred principles that we should be thinking about for music. When you think about it, we talked about the glory of God, Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. You know, we live in a world that is constantly trying to suppress God and anything that has to do with God and the Word of God, and that's even done in music. Music is a great tool to suppress in your thoughts and in your heart any thought or affection towards God. But it can have the adverse effect. Music can endear you to God. Music can promote thoughts in your heart and in your mind for God. And that should be one of the driving principles for our music. When we listen to music, when we think about music, is glorifying God, magnifying God, magnifying glass, making it big, making that subject, making God big in our hearts internally, and then externally too. When I was working construction, I tried to practice magnifying God before those guys, those lost guys that I was around, by either any way I could. I try not to be obnoxious to them, but if we were coming across something a difficult problem, and I would start praying, and then when we resolved the problem, I would say audibly, "Praise the Lord." And the first couple of times, the guys would be like, "What?" Because it wasn't on their mind. It wasn't on their mind. And it's easy for us too, as Christians, we can get on our way, and we don't glorify God. God is not readily at mind in our daily circumstances. Music can help with that. To glorify God, to magnify God in your heart, and then around you, in your workplace or in your home. And then the second sacred principle was the holiness of God. The holiness of God. God says, "Be holy, for I'm holy." We talked about in Genesis how from the beginning God created light, and then what was the first thing he did? He divided the light from the darkness. He was setting a principle from the very beginning of holiness. He separated light from darkness. And then we saw in 1 John that God is light and in him is no darkness. He is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness. There's no sin. There's no shade of turning or changing with him. He's the same every day. And there's nothing shady in him. He's holy. He's separated from everything that is contrary to his character. And he calls us to do that too. And what can help us do that, to be holy, even as God is holy, is music. Or it can have the adverse effect too. It can help us be not holy. It can help us not be holy. Psalm 96, verse 9, "Oh, worship the Lord." When we talk about that word worship, you can maybe divide that word into two words. Could put it, or change it up a little bit and say worth-ship. Giving God worth. Giving him the worth that he deserves. "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth." It says that, it says worship him, give him worth, praise his name, but do it in the beauty of holiness. They say, what's the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? And we kind of talked about a little bit about that from Plato. He made this statement that the standard by which you judge music is by the pleasure it gives. And then we're like, oh, how's it? And I think you brother, you said, like, how is that a standard? Because everybody, different music pleases different people. So how is that a standard? And then he goes on, he says, "But not the pleasure that's given to every man. Only the man that has the best character, that has the highest virtues and nobility." And so really it's not, so what he's saying is this, that yes, music does give pleasure. It should be pleasing. We don't want, we're not wanting to sing in church, sing songs and hope that it makes it, that it's the most awful thing you ever did. No, we don't want that. We want it. It should be pleasing. It should be pleasing. But the standard is something higher, and he makes the standard that which pleases the highest man, basically what he's saying, the best man. Well, for us, you know, this is, again, a godless man, you know, somebody who worships man. What man do we, should we be concerned with? What best man do we know is the best? What man do we know is the best man? Jesus, yes. Classic Sunday school answer. Jesus, yes. Yes, and Jesus is holy. He's holy. He came and he lived a sinless, perfect life. And he pleased God. He pleased the Father. He died for our sins, raised again, and he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. So our music should draw us to God, should exemplify the character of God, should help us in being closer to God, being holy even as he's holy. So that's what, just a little bit of review. Now, just wanted to dive into some, out of those two sacred principles, just talk about some personal principles for music. When you're listening to music, or you're looking at music to buy, what should be some thoughts that are unmovable, just out of these two things, the glory of God, the holiness of God, that should be some foundation, some standards that when you look at your music or looking to buy music, you say, is this the music that God wants me to listen to, or not, or no? So the first one is this: my music should turn my attention to God. The first one is this: my music should turn my attention to God. And that comes from the sacred principle of the glory of God. Magnify the Lord. Now you may think, music is very hard in the sense it has a very pleasing effect. It does. That's just the nature of music. It makes you feel feelings, right? And it makes us feel good. And so often that can run our judgment of this pleases me, therefore it's good. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Now, my music should turn my attention to God. It's the glory of God. It should turn our hearts, our thoughts, our mind to God. You know, and we can think, well, does all my music have to turn my attention to God? I mean, think about it. The Christian life, you turned your life over to God, trusting in Jesus Christ. God does have a monopoly. If you're born again, God does have a monopoly on your life and every aspect of your life. And he does get to choose what you listen to, what I listen to. And music, again, can turn your attention to God. And that is a great thing. That is a great tool that we can use to help us turn our attention to God. Especially, you know, in the morning, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one. You drag yourself out of bed, and you're just kind of, maybe some mornings you're just bleary-eyed, and you can't think. Music, pulling out a hymn book, singing a song, can help you turn your attention towards God. But here's the thing. Now, this is biblical discernment for music. My music should turn my attention to God. When you think about the music that you listen to, does it turn your attention to God, or does it turn your attention to other things? Does it glorify, lift up other things in your heart and in your life? Second thing, my music should accurately represent God's character. My music should accurately represent God's character. Music has that ability, right? We talked about that last week. Music can imitate emotions. Music can define our character. Music can, it does a whole lot of stuff. It changes people. It does. 100% it does. Maybe not if you just listen to it, that song one time, but certainly if you listen to it all the time. My music should accurately represent God's character. And I hope it should be given that rock, rap, pop, all these country rock, all these different genres of music. I hope those genres of music are I hope that's obvious to you that, and I said that I wasn't going to name out, I'm not going to jump into why on all these things, but I have given you a little bit of why those certain genres of music are not godly. It doesn't promote holiness. It doesn't. I talk in construction. I was talking to a guy, and I was trying to talk about the Lord with him, and you're just trying to build conversation with him, and he was like, "Oh, you like music?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do. I love music. Yeah, I do." And he was like, "Oh, you like rock?" And I was like, "No, I'm a Christian. I don't like rock." And he was, and you know what he did? He's like, "Oh yeah, totally, man. Rock and Christian stuff, they don't go." And I didn't even have to lecture or tell him anything about that it didn't go. And then he proceeded to tell me that the thing that would keep him from coming to Christianity, coming to Christ, was that he loved his rock too much. That's what he said. He said he knew that I'm not ready to come to church or come to God because I love my rock too much. He knew that those things were opposed to each other. So when you're growing in your relationship with God, when you open the Bible, I hope you see rock really does. And just, don't even look at the words. Just listen to the music. It doesn't turn your attention to God. No, it doesn't. Does rap turn my attention to God? No, it doesn't. Does my music accurately represent God's character? If I had somebody come to the piano here and play two different types of music, okay? Let's say one of them was holy, holy, holy. And then the other one was some rock song. Maybe let's do the one that was my favorite when I used to be carnivore. I am a carnivore. All right, connoisseur of garbage. Okay, I liked some rock songs. I liked some pop songs. I was kind of into a lot of things. And one of my favorite rock song was and please don't look at this up. Okay, and I'm confessing some sins before you, but I've gotten them out of my life. But one rock song that was my favorite was called "A Man on a Mission," and I liked it. And it had heavy beat, and it was like, "Get out of my way, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to, man on a mission." And okay, so let's say we have that song, and we have "Holy, Holy, Holy." Okay, no words to either, just the music, and then we're going to say that somebody's going to two people are going to walk through the back door. One is Jesus Christ, and one is the devil, okay? And you're not going to look behind you who's coming. You're just going to know who's coming just by the music we play, okay? Person starts playing, okay, the band, we got a rock band, and they start playing Man on a Mission, and then who do you think is coming through the back door? Got heavy rock beat. Who's coming through the back door? Jesus Christ. No. No. CCM will tell you that. CCM will tell you that. They got heavy rock beat. That sounds just same music as that rock song that I loved, and they put Christian words to it, and they say, oh, no. No. And then we... And then it would be, and then let's say we play Holy, Holy, Holy. And who's coming through the back door without looking at him? Jesus. Duh. It should be obvious. That kind of music. And I mentioned CCM. There's music that may not be so obvious that you should not be listening to, you know, rock, rap, all that, and that may be obvious to you. Maybe you're not there yet, and that's fine. Just as long as you're continuing to grow in the Lord, and come, and eventually, Lord, and I believe the Lord will show you that is not right, and I believe. And I believe, you know, as long as you don't harden your heart, you will come to that conclusion. That rock, rap, all that's that does not glorify God. That doesn't magnify God. Doesn't accurately represent His character. It doesn't draw you closer to God. But again, there's music that may not be so obvious. And I mentioned CCM. And it's really, as Christians, that's where the battle of music really comes down to a lot, is Christian words, but music that's a little sketchy. You know, it's not rock, you know, or it's got a little bit of a beat. And again, I'm not going to dive into things into certain pieces of music. Maybe if you wanted to know that, you know, the church, There's music and certain composers that we don't allow played in here in the church building. And if you maybe you wanted to afterwards come and ask, like, okay, why specifically this guy we don't listen to, or this song, why? You can do that. But again, I'm just trying to give you some tools to build your own discernment, to look at music and be like, okay, all right, God, is this really what should be in my life? My music, or what music should be in my life? What music will help me? So we like music. My music should turn my attention to God. My music should accurately represent God's character. And also, my music should not endear me to the world. Let me say that again. My music should not endear me to the world. If you got your Bibles, turn it to Colossians. Turn it to Colossians. We're talking about music should not endear me to the world. If you read certain books, you got to be careful about what books you read. If you watch television, TV, or maybe you don't have TV, you watch stuff on your phone, social media. okay, and whatnot. And that can change just without that. That can change your thinking. That can change your desires. The world is actively trying to conform all of that in your life. The same thing with music. They use music. My music should not endear me to the world. And sadly, there is, again, going back to this is the big issue, is that there is music that is not that is not so obvious that this is worldly, that this is endearing me to the world. So Colossians 2, let's read verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's the Bible. The Bible is pretty black and white when it comes to things of God and things of the world. There's no really in between. There's no really mixture. And he's warning, he's warning us Christians, beware, be careful of false teachers, of men that will spoil you, you know, that'll sour your discretion, your thinking with philosophy, you know, conspiracy theories and things that actually don't really matter, with vain, empty deceit. And all that stuff is after the tradition of men, how men do things, not how God does things, but after how men do things. And after the rudiments of the world. I just really want to focus on that, on the rudiments of the world. What are the rudiments of the world? I'm thinking of 1 John, love not the world, neither things in the world. For what's in the world? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. When you look out into the world, all that can trace a lot of things down to those three things: the lust of the flesh, what makes my body feels good, or what makes my body look good, or the lust of the eyes. It's like, I want that. I want that career. I want that money. I want covetousness. And then lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, when there's it's hard to find a man or a leader that is not for themselves, that is not doing the office or trying to lead for themselves. It's all about pride. Pride of life. Yeah, I'm the big dog. I remember in college, you know, in Bible college, not everybody's perfect. Let me just say that, you know, people, everybody in Bible college are actually sinners, and they're learning things too. But I remember we had societies, okay, and every year we would elect new officers. We'd had president, vice president, and secretary. And man, it like, you know, politics come around. Maybe you had that in high school. You had societies and they'd elect officers and, you know, putting out pamphlets and all that. And I remember there was, you could tell that the pride of life would creep in certain people's lives when that time came around. It's like, oh, I get to have the office and be the big man, and you know, everybody has to do what I say. Pride of life. You know, the office of leadership is not given to people who are wanting, or shouldn't be given to people who are going to utilize it for selfish gain. But that's the rudiments of the world, right? That's the rudiments of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Music will pull you towards that too. And even if it has Christian words, okay, you'll notice that there is Christian music that promotes this, that promotes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and especially the pride of life. The pride of life. I've heard people say, well, this music makes me feel close to God. And I used to be one of those people. I had some sketchy Christian music, CCM, and I'm like, well, it makes the words come alive and makes me feel close to God. Now I look back and I wish I could, go back, time travel back and grab my old self and slap my old self, because now that I've walked with the Lord a little bit, and I'm not saying I got a lot of years under my belt and like, oh yeah, I'm mature, I'm an elder or something, but I've experienced, I know what it is to walk with the Lord, I know what the presence of the Lord feels like, and maybe you recoil when I say feel. I was listening to a chapel message and somebody said it like this, that Christianity is not emotion-led, but it's not emotionless. The Bible tells us that, right? That the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, right? And I hope, in your walk with the Lord, you've sensed, okay, God's presence. You've sensed God's love in your life. You've sensed that peace that passes understanding, okay? And looking back, the feelings that I was feeling because of that music was not because God was present. Let me say that again. The feelings I was feeling because of that music was not because God was present. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next point, about the presence of God in your music. Very interesting subject. Now, actually, let's go right to that. My music should help me put on the new man. Music, when we're born again, we have a new nature. We're born again. It's a spiritual birth in our hearts and our lives. The Spirit of God comes. It's the work of the Spirit of God comes, lives in our lives, and then when we're living in this world, we're supposed to put off the old man. Okay, the old things that we liked, the old ways that we used to walk, the old ways of thinking that we had, and put on the new man, the new character, the new way of thinking, the new desires, the new virtues. Okay, the new rudiments, not the rudiments of the world, but the rudiments of Christ. Colossians 3, let's look at it. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. He's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How do you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Think of Romans 12, put on the new man. Don't be conformed to this world. How? By the renewing of your mind. That can be done with music, or it can be undone with music. But, and again, let's look at this thing. It says, and spiritual songs. And spiritual songs. There is Christian music. And let me propose this to you. There is Christian music where God is present in that music, or he's not. Let me say that again. There's music, Christian music, that where God is present, or he's not. And I think that is very telling, especially if you're if you walked any time with the Lord, you know that there are certain things that you do when this and you can sense the Spirit of God depart. Actually, a lot of music that I've given up has not been so much because I looked at the Word of God and I was like, ah, the Word of God says don't listen to CCM, don't listen to rock. No, it's actually been because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's been because, you know, I was listening to music that was maybe a lot of us in this room would consider not so bad. It was orchestrated. It didn't have beat in it. But, it was secular, still secular music. And I would listen to it. And then when I would be done listening to it, I'd realize, Lord, where did you go? and that would happen. And that would happen a number of times. You know, I would sense the Spirit of God. And then I would listen to music that's not bad. But then... Or was bad, was worldly, and then realize that, oh man, the Spirit of God departed. The Spirit, and then I would get it right, and the Lord would, and I would sense the Spirit of God again. And for you, that should be for you too. Your song should be spiritual. Your song should be spiritual. It should have the presence of God. And if your music, even if it's Christian words, chases away the Spirit of God, no. If you've walked with the Spirit of God, okay, that you don't ever want to lose that. It's something very sweet. It's something you don't feel like you can do life without it. But music can promote that, the Spirit and presence of God, and hopefully, in church here, when we do choir, when we have offertories, that promotes that. Okay, I'm just going to give you three questions. Just three basic questions for you when you can write these down. When you look at your music, hopefully you looked at, I'm sorry, I have one last principle. My music should endear me to God. And then I put this last word, intimacy. God wants to be close to you. Your music should endear you to God. Okay, and then three questions for your music. When you look at your music, when you look at music, ask these three questions. What kind of music does God like? What kind of music does God like? And then second question, what kind of music is God like? That was a little bit different. What kind of music is God like? How does it represent God? And the last question, what does the Spirit of God say about my music? What does the Spirit of God say about my music? And really, when it comes down to biblical discernment, listen, this is called the sword of the Spirit. You should be Spirit-led, and the Spirit of God will speak to you with the Word of God also. If the Spirit of God departs from you when you listen to that music, don't listen to it. Don't do it. But... And then a little encouragement too. Utilize music. Use it to draw you closer to God. If you don't have a song, a hymn that is special between you and God and your relationship with God, I hope you find one. One that I have, my favorite song is His Eye is on the Sparrow. And I've sung that in my heart and out loud in private more times than I can count. And every time I do, the Spirit of God always takes it and ministers to my heart with that, and encourages my heart with that, and draws me closer to Him with that. So again, listen to the Spirit of God, and use music to draw you closer. All right, we are dismissed.